Now, a little while ago, Johnny, Laura, Matthew, and myself went to a church in Sully, in Cosbeston. It's a little just outside Cardiff, not far from Barry. And we were teaching on prophecy and healing there. And part of that church there is Dave. And Dave is a visitor today, and I want to give you a warm welcome. And he is going to regret... he is going to regret ever coming here, because he shared a story which I thought, in the light that we are talking about persistent faithfulness in prayer as the next part of our teaching on love in action, I thought, well, you shared the story, why don't you share it with everybody else this morning? So please give Dave a great welcome. It's great to have you with us, Dave. Now, Dave, you've got 1 minute or... 007, bang, license. Okay, it's great. Thank you for sharing this. It's really great. I hope you really feel relaxed with us.
Cheers.
And you enjoy it, and we really are grateful. And in addition to that, you know, I just really do appreciate that how much courage it takes to come up here.
Okay.
When it's a brand new church, you know, so I really do appreciate that.
Sure.
And we really... And we really want you to know that I'm sure that many people are praying for you right now just to help you feel relaxed and at ease and at home and know that everything's going to be okay, all right?
Good.
Over to you.
Is it safe?
It's your call.
Thank you.
G'day, I'm Dave. Before you try to pick the accent, I'm from New Zealand. I go to the church in Cosmeston in Penarth. And cut a long story short, I'm sure you've seen Julian in action with his healing ministry. He came to our church. He did a healing, and I was one of 12 people to stand up, I think, to say, look, I've got a bung knee. And other people stood up with bad backs and everything else. He prayed for a variety of people. I was the last man standing who still wasn't healed. And I thought, okay, right, it's not for me. Thank you, Lord, anyway. But one of the things that Julian said as part of the ministry was, even if you feel you've had 5% healing, then continue to pray. Say, look, Lord, thank you for that 5%. Can I have another 5%? And so on and so forth. And so even though I left with no healing whatsoever and a very painful knee that was continually painful, I continued to do that prayer of, Lord, you know, I'd still like this healing, please. Yeah. And if you've given me 5%, I'd like 5% more. So I continued in prayer. And about 3 weeks later, I realized that I had no pain in my knee. I had no pain whatsoever. And I continued to do rugby, touch rugby, a lot of various things that I did in sport that I couldn't do and was struggling to do before. And I realized that God had healed me. And I thought, should I tell people this? Because this is the next step, isn't it, really, to say, hey, I've been healed. And I did. And I stepped out and I said, look, this is what happened. I've told people my story. And I praise God that basically he healed me long after the event. Mm. And so it was the continual prayer that did it, so much so that I cancelled my knee operation. And I went and I told the surgeon, I told the surgeon's assistant. She looked at me as if to say, yeah, right, you'll be back. And they were almost annoyed at me for wasting their time.
Yeah.
But praise God, my knee's fine. I shall leap off the stage. but no, praise God for that persistent healing. And the power comes to the person from the God who heals, not from the... from our prayer, really. Absolutely. But praise God for that. Thanks, Julian.
Thank you. Great. Thank you so much, Dave. Okay. Well, we are going to be talking about faithfulness in prayer as a part of our next story. And that was a great example where you just didn't let disappointment deter you, but you kept going and God delivered. I have no shadow of a doubt that I would not be standing here today if it wasn't for the faithfulness of other people in prayer. As many of you know, I was an atheist, and it wasn't till just approaching 20 that I was converted. And I had a lot of relatives, unbeknown to me, who actually were faithful in prayer. They were Christians and they would pray faithfully. And from the time I was born to the time I was 20, nearly 20, they would pray for me that I would actually come to give my life to Jesus. And they lived around an area called Gwaledigaeth, Taswell and Tom Gwynlice, which was just very close to Castle Cork Woods and Castle Cork on the M4. One day, 28th of February, I'm walking in the woods of Castle Cork as an atheist, and out of the blue, I didn't expect it, I had a divine encounter with God. It was as if I saw the presence and the power of God, and I heard God speak to me in my consciousness, clear as a bell, says, Julian, abandon your life, abandon yourself to me, proclaim my name to all people, and I will meet your needs. One minute I'm an atheist, next minute I'm a believer, and it was a divine encounter, and I have no shadow of a doubt that that encounter happened because there were people who were praying for me year after year after year after year after year, and the day came when God answered those prayers. Faithfulness in prayer is very, very powerful. We prayed for my sister for 15 years. She's gone to be with Jesus now. She died at the age of 46. But when we, as our immediate family, gave our lives to Jesus, she didn't want to have anything to do with it. And we prayed for her and prayed for her and prayed for her. And some 15 years later, a moment came in her life where she gave her life to Jesus. And I believe that that resistance happened and that change happened because of faithfulness in prayer. I could go on and on about this building and other things like that. For example, when we first bought this building, we did not have the finances at all to refurbish it, and yet it needed £90,000 worth at least work of refurbishment. And we prayed and prayed and prayed as a church that somehow God would do a miracle. I remember after a number of years, we felt that we should have another offering. We had one, you know, big offering, sacrificial offering. There weren't many of us in the church at the time, and we raised £15,000. And then after that, somebody, an organization, gave us £15,000 within the range of 2 weeks. And then after that, I was preaching at a local church, and a man came up to me and said, oh, could I have a look around your building? And I took him around this dilapidated wreck of a place that had been vandalized, and you think, how are we ever going to get in here? And he said, how much money do you have to do this? And I said, we've got as a church £30,000. And he says, well, I'm in the refurbishment business. I refurbish hospitals and hotel universities. That's what I do. I'll do everything that this building needs for what you've got. I believe that that was an answer to persistent prayer. We prayed for it. And also that God said to me, I felt him say, as a result of us praying, as you need it, I will provide it. And we needed people and skills. And we didn't have a lot of skills within the church at that time to actually help us get financing to run our projects and employ people. And then out of the blue, a lady called Sarah, myself, on the telephone, called Sue Simpson, who is in another church that we used to work with 5 years earlier, and we hadn't seen her for 5 years, and she phoned us up in our home and said, Julian, I was praying with my prayer partner this morning, and as I said amen and looked up, I said to her, I believe God wants me to move to Swansea to work for Julian and Sarah. And she left her job, she got herself a new job, she rented a house, and she volunteered working for the church for a short period of time to raise funds so that we could get staff, get equipment, employ ministries to roll out our community center projects. That was an answer to prayer. And I want to encourage you this morning, whether you're in need of a healing, or whether it's a relative that needs a touch from God, or whether there's a financial situation or a practical situation that only God can do and only God can break through it. I want to encourage you this morning to take this verse to heart, to be joyful in hope, patient in your trial, but faithful in prayer, and see God perform a miracle for you. Sometimes he'll do it in a moment. Sometimes, as we heard in the children's story, he'll answer it in a way that we don't expect. And sometimes it comes as a result of persistent prayer over time. But God is wise. He has his timing. He's never late and he's never too early. But I want to encourage you to do the one thing that God can't do for you. And that's pray. But as you pay your part, he is eager to step in his immeasurable fatherly wisdom that measures it just right for you and me. We need one another's prayer. Now, this term, faithfulness in prayer, it's a relational term. It's to be faithful. When I married Sarah and I promised and made a vow that I would love you and that I would be faithful to you and I would forsake all others and be faithful to you as long as I live, that prayer meant that I was committed to you in relationship. It's a relational term. So when it says be faithful in prayer, what are we talking about here? We're talking about, yes, we can pray for ourselves individually. Oh, Lord, help me, help me, help me. I pray that prayer often. But actually, it's about this. Lord, I'm committed in church here in a series of relationships, so I want to be faithful to you in prayer. And we can be faithful to each other in prayer. It's a relational term. So look around, see your friends in church, see those who you're connected to, look around and see the orbit of influence and the world that God has connected you to, and there you have an opportunity to do something amazing. You have an opportunity to express love in action, and it is through this simple thing that everybody can do. It's praying for one another. It's not about a formula, and it's not about clever words. It's the simple articulation, the expression of your desire for somebody else, for God to bless and God to work and God to help and God to do something amazing and wonderful. We need one another. We need one another's prayers. We weren't designed or created by God to live in isolation. When God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, he looked at the creation that he made, and he says, it's good. And then when he made Adam, and Adam was put, we read in the book of Genesis, when he made Adam, he looked at it, and he didn't say, even though mankind was his crowning glory, the most brilliant invention God ever thought of, he didn't at first say, it is good. He said, it is good, when he added a relationship to him called Eve. Now, I'm not talking about marriage here. I'm talking about that human beings are created to live in relationship, community, societies, friendship, family. We're all made for each other, not just for our individual doing our own thing. You don't work right, and I don't function right if I live independently and in isolation. That's why this invention called church is absolutely fantastic. Because he's done it for your own good. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs that God places the lonely in families. And that family is the church of Jesus. We are made for each other. And we're not only made for each other to have a conversation and drink coffee and go to a Bond movie and laugh and talk and have jokes and celebrate and party and bake cakes for one another and be there when we're hurting and when we need a lift or moving house, we all muck in. We're not even just about the practical things. We need all that too, but actually we need one another's prayers. There's a spiritual dimension to our life, and we need one another's prayers as well. So you were created to pray for others, and others were created to pray for you, and we do really need that. Why do we need it? Well, firstly, we need it. And I'm speaking so quickly, by the way, because I have a very limited moment of time. We do need it. And if you want me to slow down, just put your hand up and say, slow down, Julian. Okay? I'll probably slow down to the end as I begin to have energy. We need one another's prayers because of our temptations. Do you know, every one of us, every person in the world has a weakness. None of us are perfect, and we all have a level of weakness. And everyone's weakness is different. Some people's weakness might be a weakness to be proud and think more highly of themselves than they ought. Some people might be a weakness to overindulging in something. It might be overdrinking or overeating. Some people's weakness might be to insecurity or fear or lust or anxiety. We all have different weaknesses. Now, you know your weakness. You know the very thing that will trip you up. I know the very thing that might trip me up. I remember on one occasion listening to a preacher said, now, what I want you to do, congregation, is to go home and ask Jesus if there is anything in your life that would hinder your work for him. So I thought, well, this is a good idea as a young man. And I went home and I kneeled by my bed. I remember it very clearly. And I said, Lord, is there anything in my life that would be a weakness to me that would hinder my efficiency and effectiveness in my ministry and work for you? And as quick as a flash came this very, very clear, strong, bold thought. Do you know what it was? Well, I'm not going to tell you. No, I will tell you. I'll tell you what it was. It was lackadaisical. Well, it must have been of God. I didn't even know what it meant. I had to go to the dictionary to find out what it meant. And so this is true. Now, I went to the dictionary, I looked at it, and it said, a laissez-faire attitude, easygoing, a tendency to put things off. And at that time, I hadn't been a Christian very long, and I was so hang loose, mother goose, I was more laid back. I was laid back, I hardly got up. And I was so indisciplined as a young man, and the Holy Spirit put a finger on my weakness that had the potential to sabotage my ministry. And I made a decision that day that I was going to work with God to actually overcome that weakness, to be a hard, diligent, faithful worker. Yeah? What's your weakness? Well, the thing is, you see, we need to pray for one another, and we can pray for another because we've all got weaknesses. Now, Jesus knew Peter's weakness. He says, Satan has planned to sift you like wheat, Peter. And Peter's weakness was cowardice. Remember, he denied him in the garden? And he says, but fear not, Peter, I have prayed for you that you will overcome. And he says, after you fall and you fail, turn back and strengthen your brothers. And even though Peter failed, the prevailing prayer of Jesus for Peter actually overcame. And when we look at Pentecost, just after Jesus rose from the dead, we see this. Peter, amongst the 11, boldly stood up and told everybody about Jesus. From fear to courage because of the prevailing prayer of Jesus. So what happens is, this is the Lord's Prayer. It's a family prayer. It says it's a prayer that we pray for one another. It's a prayer that we pray for ourselves, plural. It's not an individual prayer. And it says, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. And it says in Luke 22, on reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Can I encourage you to pray for one another? Can I encourage you to pray for your small group members? Can I encourage you to pray for your leaders? Can I encourage you to pray for your friends? Pray that whatever weakness they have, whether you're aware of it or not, you cover them and we cover one another in prayer, that we don't get sidetracked from the walk with Jesus, our relationship with him, and the ministry and the service he's called us to. Just as a show of hands, how many of you would be thrilled to know that there were people praying for you regularly concerning your weakness or vulnerability? Yes, I would be thrilled to know that as well. So this is, when it says being faithful in prayer, it means be relationally faithful to one another, and this is a way we can show love, that we pray for one another in this regard. So that's the first thing. The second thing I want to talk about is that we pray for one another in our trials. Now, a temptation is a different to a trial. A trial is when we go through a hardship. We have a sickness, a loss of a job. We might have a bereavement or a time of acute busyness when you are weary and tired through busyness and you're under pressure and it's over a long period of time, for example, and anything can go wrong or anything can break and we need to be sustained and strengthened. It could just be any challenging time. And we all have that at different seasons of our life. It's the stuff of life. Nobody is immune from trial or difficulty or challenge or suffering. Nobody. Jesus says, in this world you will have trials, but fear not, I've overcome the world. And one of the ways that we can overcome in our trials is through the faithful prayer of others. Trials can break you or they can make you. The Bible says all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord. In other words, he has the power to take every challenge and work something good in it for you. But at the same time, we know that trials can be destructive and they can destroy us if we don't have the capacity and the strength to capture those moments and those trials in a positive way. One of the things that gives us that grace, that power, that strength to be able to make our trials work to shape us for the good and put structural steel within us rather than meltdown and breakdown is the power of prevailing faithful prayer. And there are times when we are not strong enough or resilient enough to pray for ourselves. Sometimes when you're under pressure or under trial, you don't always know how to pray or what to pray. But we can pray for each other. We can cover one another in prayer. We can bring God's provision and power and protection and blessing and breakthrough and recovery to one another through faithful prayer for each other. Count it pure joy, it says, when you go through various trials, for it is the refining of your faith. And trials can actually refine our faith and make us stronger. But your prayer and my prayer for one another as we go through trials is a critical and vital component in that. I've been prayed for when times when I wanted to give up. I remember, as I said earlier, we'd bought this building and it was taking a long time to get in. A long, long time to get in. And sometimes some of the members of our congregation then were getting frustrated, said, why aren't we getting in? What's going wrong? And they began to leave our church because of it, because of impatience. And that was a very challenging time. And we weren't very many of us at the time. And I remember on one occasion having started the church from nothing, when we'd been burgled for 16 times, our car had been stolen 4 or 5 times, we'd grown to about 15 or 20, then went on holiday, and folk who wanted to get in here but we couldn't because of building regs and we didn't have the finance to do it might have left, and we went from 20 to 5 and all of the challenges. And I remember when we were renting a property, North Pennine Community Centre had no buildings, and there would be fights breaking out as I was preaching, and people would say, there's more fight. This church is like Dora's Discos, but there's more fights in Dora's Disco. I remember we would go out on a Sunday evening after doing a youth event or something, and kids would have taken mattresses from, I don't know where they got them from, but doused it in petrol and put it in front of the gates of the community centre and set it on fire so we couldn't get out and the parents couldn't get in. It was a challenging time. And I remember saying to Sarah on one occasion, when I just come to the end of my human ability to keep going, and those of you who know me well, I do have a lot of ability to keep going. And I came to the end of my human ability to keep going. And I said, Sarah, I just don't know if I can keep this up anymore. And Sarah phoned round some of the leaders and faithful people in the church and said, pray for Julian. Pray for Julian. And as those good, faithful people prayed for me, it's like God visited me, and I came to a place where I knew again that God was real and that he had called me to build this church, called us to build this church, and picked ourselves up with once again God coming in that spiritual moment through answers to prayer. And it was at that point then that the church began to grow and go into a new phase of progression. We need one another's prayers. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. You need the prayers of one another. And we can show love for each other as we pray for one another faithfully. Paul knew the power of prayer. It says, on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Paul, the great apostle, in tremendously difficult circumstance, was delivered by God as a result of the prayers of faithful people. So I want to encourage us to pray. The other thing I want to encourage us to is pray that we all may know God personally. Paul says this, I pray... Thank you. Next slide, please. I pray that being rooted and established in love, you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that you may know this love that surpasses knowledge, and you may be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. Paul often prays that we would know God more, know God better, and be filled with his love and his presence. You know, the secret to knowing God God and being filled with him. It's not reading it in a book or just acquiring more mental knowledge. It's when the Holy Spirit breathes through that book or through that sermon or through that Bible reading or through that godly conversation or through that worship time. He breathes his breath in it and brings a revelation and an encounter and an awareness, a personal communication to you of how great he is and how loving he is and how forgiving he is and how merciful he is. It comes through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does that time and time again in answer to prayer. I pray, he says, that you will know these things. Can I encourage you? Can I ask you to pray for one another faithfully that we will know God, his presence, his power, his love, his purity, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, in reality, more and more. Not just know the content of another sermon, not just know the content of a chapter of a book, not just be able to quote a Bible verse, but the presence and the power of God impacting our lives and transforming us because he has come to us in a fresh, new, ongoing way through answer to prevailing, faithful, powerful prayer of his people, one for another. And finally, as we approach the Cinderella hour, 12 o'clock, before I turn into a pumpkin or something, finally, pray for effective service in God. Fruitfulness in our ministry. I look around this room and I see so many of you, and I know that folk who are visiting us today, you, many of you will be involved in some kind of work, ministry, service for Jesus. It might be working with youth. It might be in a Sunday school. It might be in a worship band. It might be in a small group. It might be helping out administratively as a secretary or whatever. I don't know all the ways that you serve God. It might be in the workplace where you're a faithful kingdom of God man or woman in the workplace, bringing righteousness and love and justice and care. It might be in a school or a hospital. It might be in a nursing. I don't know all your stories. But you are there wanting God to make a difference through your life. And Paul says this, wanting to make a difference through his life in his ministry that is particular and peculiar to him, like we all have a particular and peculiar ministry. And by that, I don't mean strange. I mean unique. He says, pray for me that whenever I speak, because that's what he did, the words may be given that I may fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel. He is praying that he will do it well and do it effectively. And again, the work of God and the blessing of God and the transformation of God and the change of God that he brings through our lives is not through our talent or our words or our activity. It is God invading and investing and working through them. I could speak till the cows come home, but unless Holy Spirit breathes his revelation, life and blessing into those words, me, nobody's going to get transformed because my words don't do the transforming. Holy Spirit does. And Paul recognizes that he can't do it, but he needs God's help. And so he says, will you pray? Will you pray that God will help me? And I want to encourage you to pray faithfully for the ministries and the works and the activities that go on in this church. I encourage you to pray for Beth and Rob and the band as they stand up, that when they strum that song and sing that note, the presence of God comes upon them. And in a moment we go, oh my goodness, God is here. How many of you had sung a chorus and it hasn't touched you? And how many of you have sang a song and listened to a song in a church meeting when in a moment the presence of God has turned up and really all you want to do is get down on your knees and go, oh my Lord, how great you are. Because you have been, God has revealed, he's drawn back the curtain and he stepped up before you and you go, oh. Do you know, every worshiper, every musician up here wants to be able to be used by God to bring that experience to you. You can help them do that in your prayers. And when they go out to the Sunday school, how important is it? How important is it that those little lives have a touch and a transformation and a revelation of Jesus at 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. So that by the time they get to those difficult years, which used to be 13, but now it's 8 and 9. How important is it that the guys who are faithfully preparing the Sunday school material the week before and praying that God will bless them, that they are enforced and empowered and backed up by your prayers, where God invades that memory verse, that story that says pray often because it works. And little lives aren't just hearing fun and words, but Holy Spirit is touching their lives. I remember Rachel at the age of 3, was it? Age of 3, sat in a sermon in an old-fashioned Pentecostal church with language that a three-year-old would never be understand, with these and thous and theological terms. And she came back, and in all of that service, Holy Spirit had touched her and revealed himself to her, and she gave her life to Jesus at 3 o'clock, at 3 years old. Couldn't be 3 o'clock. And Sarah said, "Oh, well, I'll pray with you now." I'll pray with you now. And she says, "No, I want to pray to Jesus." Didn't want it to be done. It was between her and God, because God had met with her in this little service. And she there in the living room, and we kept the door open so she could just peek through. And she said, "Lord Jesus, please forgive my naughty things. Come into my heart. Amen." And she came out of the living room, she says, "He's in." She has never looked back, as you know. She has never looked back. Holy Spirit moments. And I want to say to you, pray. Paul says, pray for me. Pray for the Sunday school. Pray for the worshippers. Pray for the people who welcome at the door. Pray for those who are in the office. Pray for those who are doing coffee duty. Every act is an act of love, and God can use it all to touch a life and change us and inspire us to be the people that God wants us to be. We need one another's prayers, and we can bring God to one another. We can bring God to our nation. So I want to encourage you. Pray for one another because we're all weak. Pray for one another because we all do the stuff of life, trials, pressures, difficulties. Pray for one another because we all can know God deeper. Pray for one another because we all want to see God turn up and use our ministries. Pray for one another. And this is what this verse is all about. This verse is about being faithful in prayer. It's about being relational. It's about being faithful to one another. It doesn't have to be in an hour stuck in a closet. It doesn't have to be fasting and praying for 10 days. But it can be the simple words of need and help and desire given to God sincerely in your own words, in your own language, in your own way, in your own style, in your own time. And God can come and do something wonderful, beautiful, that really, if we're honest, we all long for. Pray. Be faithful in prayer. We can do this. We can do this. Because you're a chatty lot, so you can do it to God too. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that this isn't rocket science and it's not brain surgery. It's not degree stuff. It's kindergarten. It's nursery school. It's what Simon said this morning in the children's spot. It's the message. Pray. Prayer is powerful and it works. And I ask that the spirit of grace, intercession, prayer, supplication now will come upon us as a people, that in this season and beyond, we may truly be faithful to one another in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.